This is Leon Van Dyke reading the eulogy that was delivered at Malcolm X's funeral by Ozzie Davis.
Here, at this final hour, in this quiet place, Harlem has come to bid farewell to one of its brightest hopes, extinguished now and gone from us forever. For Harlem is where he worked and where he struggled and fought, his home of homes, where his heart was and where his people are. And it is therefore most fitting that we meet once again in Harlem to share these last moments. For Harlem has ever been gracious to those who have loved her, have fought her, and had defended her honor even to the death. It is not in this memory of man that this beleaguered, unfortunate, but nonetheless proud community has found a braver, more gallant young champion than this African-American who lies before us. Unconquered still, I say the word again, as he would want me to, Afro-American. Afro-American Malcolm, who was a master, was most meticulous in his use of words. Nobody knew better than he the power words have over minds of men. Malcolm had stopped being a Negro years ago. He'd become too small, too puny, too weak a word for him. Malcolm was bigger than that. Malcolm had become an Afro-American, and he wanted so desperately that we, that all his people would become Afro-Americans too. There are those who would consider it their duty as friends of the Negro people to tell us to revile him, to flee, even from the presence of his memory, to save ourselves by writing him out of the history of our turbulent times. Many will ask what Harlem finds to honor in this stormy, controversial, and bold young captain. And we will smile. Many will say, turn away from this man. For he is not a man, but a demon, a monster, a subverter, and an enemy of the black man. And we will smile. They will say he is of hate, a fanatic, a racist, who can only bring evil to the cause for which you struggle. And we will ask and say to them, did you ever talk to Brother Malcolm? Did you ever touch him or have him smile at you? Did you ever really listen to him? Did he ever do a mean thing? Was he ever himself associated with violence or any public disturbance? For if you did, you would know him. And if you knew him, you would know why we must honor him. Malcolm was our manhood, our living black manhood. This was his meaning to his people. And in honoring him, we honor the best in ourselves. Last year, from Africa, he wrote these words to a friend. My journey, he says, is almost ended, and I have a much broader scope to when I started out, which I believe will add new life and dimension to our struggle for freedom and honor and dignity in the States. I'm writing these things so that you will know for a fact the tremendous sympathy and support we have amongst the African states for our human rights struggle. The main thing is that we keep a united front wherein our most valuable in time and energy will not be wasted fighting each other. However, we may have differed with him or with each other about him and his values as a man. Let it going from us serve only to bring us together now. Consigning these mortal remains to earth, the common mother of all, secure in the knowledge that what we place in the ground is no more now a man, but a seed, which after the winter of our discontent will come forth again to meet us, and we will know him then for what he was and is, a prince, our own black shining prince, who didn't hesitate to die because he loved us so.
Good. Thank you, Leon.
I said, thank you, brother.
Leon, I just want to ask you a quick question now.
Yeah.
Why did you think it was important that you, you know, say this? And why do you think that particular eulogy was important?
One, because I think it makes us remember Malcolm to the extent to what he said. And I think Ozzie, who was a personal friend of Malcolm, caught the essence of Malcolm in this eulogy. That's one. Mm-hmm. For me, I think that there should be, we should never forget Malcolm. In fact, that there should be a national holiday. And even if they don't make a national holiday, we as black people must make it up our national holiday. Malcolm was ever the biggest figure as King, and King was a big figure written large. But Malcolm was just as big, and he made just as much of a contribution. His words still speak. When we read his speeches, it's as if Malcolm was talking to us today. And we must not forget that. We must not forget our giants. And Malcolm was a giant. He was a giant amongst giants. Giant with Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, W.E. Du Bois, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth. Malcolm stands right there with them. King, in his later years, was more acceptable. And I don't say that as a criticism than Malcolm. Malcolm was killed before his time. Malcolm had changed in his later years when he went to Africa. And he came back and he recognized that even though whites were the cause of our condition, it wasn't all whites. And I think Malcolm saw that there were some people that he could work with. I think that was one of the things. But Malcolm, which is hard for this nation to fight, he made no accommodations. I think that's one of the things.
I know King came out against the war. King spoke out against the war at Riverside Church. But Malcolm never was for America going to war against people of color, because he always described America as a colonial power or imperialist power.
Yeah, well, Malcolm was a Pan-Africanist, you know, and he stated that, you know, and he was always against colonial. I think King was also. King came at it at a later time. Malcolm was making these criticisms back in the 50s. Paul Robeson, as you know, who was another great leader, criticized our war against colonial people.
King struggle came out of the South and the Civil Rights Movement, which was very well needed because of the Jim Crow segregationist system, what it was doing to black people in the South. But Malcolm's struggle kind of started in the North. And Malcolm said that the difference between him and King was that King was a civil rights leader, but he was not a civil rights leader. He saw the struggle as a human rights struggle as opposed to civil rights.
The thing of it is, these two great men, right, they were coming closer together. These were giants, not just giants morally, but intellectually too. They were men went way beyond their time. And they realized the commonalities that they had. And I really think that had Malcolm And had King lived, they would have been together. I really believe that. Right. This King, in his, when he came against the war, the Vietnam War, and his whole thing about poverty and classism, they were coming in line. And Malcolm, when he went to Mecca and he came back, he was more in line with King also.
Right. Okay. All right, Leon. Thank you. Unless you have something else to say?
Listen.
Go ahead.
Willie, you do me great honor. Thank you.